Let's enjoy the study. We're going to do Genesis 19. And when I did this study, as I said, I figured everybody knows about Sodom and Gomorrah. I've learned so much in the 2 weeks I've been doing this study that I didn't know. Things that I saw that make my own world with God come alive. We talked about some of it a couple of weeks ago, but I thought tonight would be a great time to finish some of this so we can talk to each other. And you can feel, you can express yourself, because I think the Bible study, like Jim told me a couple of weeks ago, made my heart happy. He said, this is where you talk and we can actually express to one another and get that. So I feel excited about that. Let's pray together. Lily and Zippy are here, their first Bible study ever. They have to show them where Genesis is. This is their first study. So everybody be on your best behavior, John. Lord, we thank you for this night. We thank you for everybody in attendance, Lord, and we're going to read your word. Imagine that. We're going to study you, and we're going to learn even from Genesis that there's things in our life that we need to work on and things in our life that we could do better, Lord. All the way back to the beginning, we don't know everything. So that's what this study is for. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
We did not hear about that until about a little while ago, so we pray for those families. There's no words that can express anything to them except just to be there for them and let them know. Because let me tell you something, evil exists in this world.
Amen.
And what God is telling you right now is to appreciate where you are and what you're doing in your life. You know, that could have been you. You know, we were going to go to the ball game, and some guy got shot on the subway, the same subway we're going to use. We're not going to the ball game. That could have been us.
Yeah.
So everything that happens like that, you're supposed to humble yourself and say, Lord, I pray for them, but you know, Lord, that could have been me. So just thank you. Thank you, Elder. Welcome home, Elder. The first quiz question, when I first read this, this said a lot to me. It spoke to me a lot about what he's saying. According to James, a man's religion is worthless if he does not control what part of his body, his mind, his tongue, or his eyes. A man's religion is worthless if he does not control what part of his body. How many think it's his mind? Anybody mind? How about his tongue? Anybody tongue? How about his eyes?
James had a lot to say about the tongue.
He deceives himself because of his tongue.
Yes.
And say, Pastor White, because I told somebody once, I don't care what religion you are, I don't care what denomination you are, but if you walk around talking like a sailor, you deceive yourself, and you need to find a new religion. Oh, that's what the Bible says. If a man or woman, I'm sorry, but the Bible says man, makes a vow of the Nazarite, and the vow of the Nazarite is simply this. The word Nazarite is Hebrew. It means set apart. So if somebody makes a vow to be set apart, which one of these things must he give up? If you're telling God, I'm making a vow to you tonight, I'm going to set myself apart. That's a vow of the Nazarite. Nazarite being a Hebrew word, meaning set apart. It sounds beautiful like that, though. Which one of these things must he give up? Alcohol, leavened bread, or marriage? If a man makes a vow of the Nazarite, I'm going to set myself apart. Which one of these things must he give up? How many think it's alcohol? How many want to say leavened bread? How many want to say marriage? Voluntarily take a vow to set themselves apart to the Lord, they must give up alcohol.
Oh, really?
Wow. I like beer.
It comes twice in the
Bible. I thought they all drank wine.
If a man makes a vow to separate himself, to be better, closer to God, then according to Jewish tradition, you have to give up alcohol. Wow. Not that they don't, everybody drinks alcohol, but if you say, I am going to do this, that's what you got to give up. Not marriage, Fred. Nice
not
try.
Marriage.
In Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah, what creature does Isaiah name as a wild beast of the desert? What creature? Is it an owl? Is it a satyr? Or is it a dragon? Satyr, S-A-T-Y-R-S, is a goat or a mythological, like mythologically horse.
Mythological.
A Greek horse or goat. That's a satyr. S-A-T-Y-R, satyrs.
What's the question again?
In Isaiah 13, what creature does Isaiah name as a wild beast of the desert? How many think it's an owl? Anybody get an owl? Anybody want to say satyrs?
Yeah.
Look at you guys. How many want to say dragon? The third one's a dragon.
We're trying to learn something
there. Never saw a dragon.
We're trying to learn Greek.
According to Isaiah 13, Greek mythology, what creature does Isaiah name as a wild beast of the desert? The owl.
Wow.
Also the satyr.
And dragon.
Also dragon.
I'm the only one raised my hand for all.
Did you name all three of them?
I knew, I heard.
Oh, yeah.
I remember the owl.
So if you only raised your hand for one, you're wrong.
What's a sapphire or whatever you said?
Go and that's a horse.
Greek mythology. Satyrs, but it's a Greek mythology. It's like a horse or a goat. It has the head of a horse or a goat. It's not a real creature at all. I don't know, but I just telling you what's in the book. Take it up. I had to look up what it was.
Yeah.
19 Genesis.
Praise God. Now, I hope you received this one because, well, I'll tell you after. What is the first part of the blessing given to the people of Israel by Aaron? What is the first part of the blessing? Is it, may the Lord smile on you and be gracious? Or is it, may the Lord show you his favor and give you peace? Or is it, may the Lord bless you and keep you? What is the first part of the blessing given to the people of Israel by Aaron? How many think it's may the Lord smile on you and be gracious? Anybody with that one? How about may the Lord show you his favor and give you peace? Anybody? How about may the Lord bless you and keep you? Anybody?
That's part of it.
The first part of the blessing is may the Lord bless you and keep you. I've been praying for a long time. In fact, Marilyn has in your bulletin an opening prayer that I gave her that we've never read because it just did. But I have it tonight. I'm going to close church on Sundays and I'm going to have it in the bulletin. And I want you to say it. It'll be, we will say on after church, before we anything, we'll say, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious, and may the Lord show you his favor and give you peace.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen. That'll be our prayer, and we'll have it in the bulletin, but we'll say it together. Amen?
Amen.
And it's say, well, it's not the repetition, it's not the saying it, but it's in our spirit. And I say that because God gave that to Aaron. And if God gave that to Aaron and to bless his people, let's try it. Let's just... It just makes my heart happy. So is everybody okay? Miss Marilyn has to do all the work. So
she has to do all the work.
Once I give it to her, I'm off the hook. So we'll take that first opening prayer out because for some reason it's just too busy. It was too, and I think this. And when I found this and I was doing it, I said this is perfect for our church. What a beautiful little prayer. Amen. Now, please remember if you said we already went over this, that some people were not at church. And Chuck and Marilyn weren't in church when we went over some of this. So I want to recap before we start on Sodom and Gomorrah. Some of the things I didn't mention. 400 years after the flood is Sodom and Gomorrah. 400 years. It's somewhere near the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea being the lowest of elevation on the earth. And here's, I love this. I just love this. Experts are not sure where Sodom and Gomorrah is. To this day, they assume that it's somewhere either under the Dead Sea or just south of the Dead Sea, but they don't know. Experts don't know.
It burned to the ground.
Well, they think that there's some black liquid stuff, tar-like substance under the sea, and they think that might be. That might be. But we don't know where it is.
Well, wherever the salt concentration is, that's where Sodom and Gomorrah was.
But they have, you know, the Dead Sea is the lowest spot on Earth, the elevation, but they're not sure. They've not found Sodom and Gomorrah. And we learned that Jesus walked with Abraham. When back in Genesis, we learned that Jesus actually visited the Lord himself, because he said to him, Lord, and he said, I am God. And there's only one God. Nobody's seen the Father. Amen. We've all accepted that nobody has ever seen the Father, so it was Jesus. Literally Jesus in his body that went to see Abraham. And we know that Jesus shared his thoughts with Abraham. Amen. Understand that. He didn't have to. In fact, he says in the Bible, Jesus is sort of talking to himself. Should I tell Abraham what I'm about to do? Which means Jesus will talk to us like that. But he didn't. Jesus wasn't confused. He wasn't confused about whether he should tell him or not. He just wanted, almost like he wanted Moses to write that saying, I want you to hear God's thoughts. God said, I'm going to bless Abraham with so many things that I need to trust him. But I want to show him and I want to tell him what I want to do. And that's almost like saying, tell me what you think. And I think that God talks to us like that all the time. If we'll listen, he'll talk to you sometimes. Is this really what you want? Is this really the right way to go? What do you think? How should we handle this? Amen? Amen. But he knew he could trust Abraham. So Jesus shared his thoughts with Abraham. And this was one that got me, guys. Jesus and the angels ate with Abraham. They ate. And I tell them that got with me because angels eat food. Jesus ate food. This is way before the resurrection.
Where is this?
Huh?
Where is this?
Genesis 18 and 17:18. Jesus meets with Abraham. And he and Abraham and Sarah makes a meal and then the angels, after Jesus leaves the angels and they go to Lot, guess what they do again? They eat food. So you see, when you pass to the next special, when your salvation day is coming, you're with Jesus, you're going to be who you are. You're going to have a body. And you might not be hungry like that, but you will eat food. That means you will drink water. That means you will share things together. That means you will talk together and be alive. You're not going to be a ghost floating around, some spirit. You're going to be you. And in heaven, the angels ate with Lot. And to me, old pastor, but no, listen, this is real. This makes God real to me. This makes where we're going to go real to me. Why would he tell us that if they didn't do that? Oh, they just put that in the Bible. So anything you read in the Bible is gold. Amen. So they ate with him. Jesus ate with them.
And the
was he hungry? I don't know. Does he put salt on things? We'll find out someday. Hey, listen, right? Who created the world? Did he create salt? I rest my case.
You didn't need to put salt in that pastrami.
Amen. Nothing better than that. So, Chuck and Marilyn, this was just what we started talking about, because Sodom and Gomorrah started with Abraham and Jesus two chapters before that. And this was started with Sarah and the baby. And this kind of led to that. Jesus going to visit Abraham. So in 18, when God comes back to Abraham, he knows who he is because he's seen him before. That's just real stuff to me.
Wasn't he the angel?
Go ahead.
He was like the prince of Salem or something like that.
That was Melchizedek.
Yeah.
We don't know much about him. He was on the order of, they said Jesus even was on the order of Melchizedek. We have no idea who he was. I mean, he was the prince of Salem, but I mean, that's another person in the Bible that's just fascinating to study. But if I told you stories, I wouldn't know.
It was Jesus.
Yeah, we don't know. And this is something. Lot tries to bargain with evil. When the men of Sodom, and the Bible says, young and old, come banging on his door. They want the two angels to come out. They want to have relations with. And this has got nothing to do with, in one sense, homosexuality. Amen. This is perversion. This is right out perversion. This ain't nothing about love, nothing about choice. They want to do things, and all the people together. So you start thinking, you know, that can't be safe, right? I mean, you go to prison and you're around a lot of people thinking, I'm not safe in here. But those people didn't care because they were all the same kind of people. They wanted the angels. And so Lot, in his wonderful mind of mind, goes out to try to bargain with the devil. I'm telling you, each and every one of you, there were times in your life where I guarantee you were trying to bargain with the devil. You were trying to make a deal. You're saying, Lord, I want to do this and I'll make a deal with you. Don't do that. He lost his mind. The men of Sodom, total perversion. No one was safe. So Lot loses his mind. He sounds like those banging at the door. They want the angels to come out so they can have a relationship with the men. And Lot goes out there and he offers his daughters. He sounds just like them. He says, take my daughters, please. Penny Youngman, right?
That's terrible.
And not only that, but the Bible said he pleads with them. He begs them to take my daughters.
Do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And encourage you with it, like.
Right.
Trying to make a deal with Satan. If you take my daughters, maybe you'll leave these two guys alone. They never said that. They wanted what they wanted.
Yep.
Don't argue with people that are insane. That's what I'm begging you. You know, I know you want to be on Facebook and you all these things, but don't rebuke them because you don't want to get dirty like that. You don't want that smell coming on you because they're out of their mind. They want to kill babies. And they don't even care about fetus. The word, you notice the word fetus, though, you don't hear that anymore? It's just babies, abortion. I demand an abortion.
And now they're starving them.
Well, that's another thing. Praise God. Hallelujah. We need the baby formula.
Baby in the next generation.
I don't know anything about baby formula, Deacon Sergio, except I know if you got a baby, you need the formula. You have to feed the baby. And you can't make it, right? I don't know. You could. I didn't know that.
There used to be a way to do it because before we had the formula, mothers were.
I bet our grandmothers knew what to do. Yep. And they sent us some formula from across the sea. They sent it to Indiana, I believe. And they say there's barely enough for Indiana. So I don't know. Yeah.
So. Part of the order was for toddlers.
Yeah.
So babies can't drink that.
So the Bible says that evil company corrupts good minds. Okay? Corrupt is a pretty deep word, so you have to believe that. Evil company will corrupt your mind. Lot's mind was corrupted. I know people say the time has got nothing to do with the time. His mind was corrupted. He lost his mind. He's trying to give his daughters away, not knowing what he was doing. Amen?
He thought he was saving the angels, right?
Yeah. Well, And now, the angels say, and we'll start reading here in a minute, 19:10. Everybody, chapter 19.
Verse 10.
I think verse 10. Yeah. So, okay, we have all this going on, all the noise, everybody yelling and screaming. And it comes to like this. The angels say to themselves, okay, I've heard enough. Who was they used to say that? I've heard enough. It's time. And it says, But the men reached out their hands and pulled Lot into the house with them and shut the door. They had heard enough. And you know, they could have done that.
19:10.
Chapter 19, verse 10. Genesis 19, verse 10. But the men reached out their hands and pulled Lot into the house with them and shut the door. That you know, you think about how much strength that took. And then, go ahead, somebody, David.
It says the men, were that the angels?
Yeah, yes. Yep, the men. Says, because you read before it, it said, so they pressed hard against the man Lot and came near to break down the door. But the two angels reached around and grabbed him and yanked him in and slammed the door shut. Not only did they slam the door shut, but this, and then they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they became weary trying to find the door. Praise God. They struck the men blind. Right? First they were morally blind. Now they're physically blind. The angels did that. Blink. That's it. That's God. Amen? That's God. And then they say, then the men said to Lot, have you anyone else here? Son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in the city, take them out of this place. Isn't that interesting? The angels don't know. They don't know everything. Understand that these angels were there. They were on a mission. They were on a mission. But they had to ask, have you anyone else here? I found that interesting, Deacon Sergio, that the angels had to ask, have you anyone else here? You would think that they would know. But God didn't tell them everything. Amen. They were on a mission.
Did Lot know who these people were? These,
yes, yes.
The angels?
Yes.
And he thought they needed help?
Yes.
Wow.
Yep.
Turns out they didn't.
He didn't know that they had, he didn't believe that they could do what they did.
Okay.
He thought he was defending them.
Right. Yeah. That's why I said, why didn't he think they needed help?
They're on a mission from God. And they're asking, have you anyone else here? So I said, the angels don't know everything.
When, could they be asking that question to have Lot think?
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, that could, but if they knew, they would have just said, get this and get that, because they were in his house. Either way is correct, but I'm thinking in my head, they didn't know, which I find interesting that, you know, that they only knew what their mission was. And they said, son-in-laws, your sons, your daughters, whomever you have in the city, take them out of this place. And that's interesting too, whoever you have in the city. Hang on to that. Then he said, for we will destroy this place because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Wow.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
You might think when we sing God Bless America that God doesn't hear us. You might think when we pray for New York or we pray for all the things that God doesn't hear us. But God heard the outcry. And it wasn't from the people in Sodom, amen? Because we know that all the men in Sodom, maybe the women were, maybe somebody was, but they weren't righteous. We know that. But God heard the outcry of what was happening there, and he was about to act. So when we pray and sing God Bless America, you got to believe that you believe that he hears his children singing, please bless. I know there's evil people in this country, but I know that if you bless it, even the evil people will get a reward, but we don't care. We want you to bless us. Amen. That's talking to God. Praise God. Get up, get out of this place. Get out now. For the Lord is about to destroy this place. The people banging at the door. The angels then. And then the angels say, David, if the angel said to you, get out now, what minute after that would you be gone? No, really, right? What minute after that, doggy, would you be gone if the angel said, get out here now? I'm going to destroy it. Get out now.
Did you have any wings yet?
They didn't have wings.
No, they were walking.
You're walking. Just don't get off the wrong floor. Did you?
They said get out now.
Wow.
So how long would you stay, Deacon? I'd be like, where's the door and when can I leave, right?
Get out.
The Lord's about to destroy it. Sometimes we know we're in a dangerous place, all right? Don't say, oh, pastor, don't come on me. But some things, times in your life, you've been somewhere, done something, or got yourself in a situation that you knew you shouldn't be in. Were you smart enough to get out now, or did you like it? Or you're just like, well, I don't have to get out right this minute. I know this is bad, but I'm going to hang around a little longer. I shouldn't be around this person. I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't be driving 100 miles an hour. But we don't get out, right? No matter. So he's telling the angels are right there saying, get out now. I love this next line of going to get you, because I saw Dave and he just said the same thing. The angel said, Dave, get out. We would have to see his taillights. So verse 15. When the morning dawned.
Wait, you missed
them. Oh, I did, yeah.
Missed, yeah, 14.
I'm remembering 14. Oh.
No.
Okay, thank you very much.
You got women here to
correct
you.
Get out. Even Ralph Cramden, when he told Norton to get out, got out, amen? Get out. Get out. God's going to destroy it all. Yeah, but this is my home, and I got to, you know, something I got. Maybe I'll find my old fishing rod or something I got to have.
Get out.
Okay, I missed one. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who had married his daughters, and said, get up and get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But his son-in-laws, he seemed to be joking. To his son-in-laws. Y'all got friends that think you're joking, right? Hey, that's a real sin. You don't want to play with that, and they think you're joking. God, oh, you're joking. I don't want to be joking. How many times have we met, right? Your friends think you're joking. You're trying to tell your friends, you know, get in line with the Word of God. No matter your lifestyle, get in line with the Word of God. Talk to God. It's between you and God. Do something.
Amen.
And this is interesting because I looked up a lot of stuff and I tried to find out because I don't have an answer that I know you're going to ask me. But the best thing I got is said Lot speaks to his son-in-laws. Mm-hmm. And there's called a binding betrothal. Betrothal?
Mm-hmm.
Betrothal. That they were married. I mean, they were together and promised to, but not yet married, because the Bible tells us that his daughter didn't know any men.
But so, they were married.
So they were married, according to the Bible. They were his son-in-laws, but they hadn't married their daughters yet because they hadn't known them in the marriage state.
And in this NIV version, it says pledged.
They were pledged to be married.
So basically engaged.
But even
and
then what?
It says who had married his daughters.
Yeah, they said that they were, but they hadn't. They had a binding agreement, and I guess it's as good as being married. But they weren't yet married.
Consummated, maybe not consummated.
That's still
yet.
In today's world in the Middle East and for the Arabs.
Yes.
If you're engaged.
Yep.
That means you're seriously dating. You're exclusive.
Yep.
Going to be married.
Yep.
They were chaperones.
Exclusive is a good word. They were, but I mean, again, I wish I could explain it a little better than that, but that's where I have to leave it, and you all have to take that they were, because the Bible says the women didn't know men before.
Right.
They were still virgins.
Yeah, but even if you go to Joseph and Mary, Jesus, I mean, he was playing. Nowhere said they married.
The angels closed the door. They pulled God in and shut the door.
They left together, but were they married? I don't know. That's a good question. Joseph and Mary, were they married? Jean, when they left to go to have Beth of Jesus, were they married? I think they might have been when they went to.
Those days, the marriages were totally different than the way we see.
But he never knew her. So, yeah. He never knew her.
So they were chaperones.
Yeah.
No, but even your king, whenever they took whoever to give you their wives, it never mentions being an official ceremony like we do now.
So to his son-in-laws, it seemed to be they seemed just like our friends. We want our friends. Look at, I don't want my friend to be a holy roller. I just want his salvation. I want my family's salvation to be, you know, I don't want it. You know, any lifestyle that we're living, we got to be careful that we don't judge them. But we have to be honest. We have to tell them the truth. If we don't tell somebody the truth, it'll be like I said Sunday, that you move the lighthouse and they're in danger. Anytime we move the truth, we'll all be in danger. God's word changes. We're all in danger. Anybody so arrogantly, and there's an article in my magazine that I get from a pastor, from a reverend, who's talking about that women should have the right to choose. And I say, God bless you, because you're talking about their salvation. You know, if you want to say that a woman has a right to choose, then I don't want to be there when that woman goes to Jesus and say, but Lord, they told me it was all right. Because the Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. What's that thing when you're in the woods or you do something wrong? It said, ignorance is no excuse for the law, right? If you do something in hunting or fishing, you're supposed to catch 2 trout, but you got 5 and said, I didn't know the limit was 2. They say ignorance is no excuse for the law. And that's what it's kind of saying here about all that. And I just... So, 15. The angels told them, get out. But when morning dawned, what are they doing there? What are they doing? Come on. I mean, really, right? You know, you read that, you go home and you're out one morning. But think about it. Well, you can't think about it. Your mind goes nuts.
Also, they did not leave immediately, right. Apparently.
Yeah, but you got all those guys around the house who are like...
The angels urged... And listen, they just... He's in the house with his kids, and they just saw the angels make everybody blind. People are bumping into walls and bumping into... You just get up and walk through them like the walking dead. They're going to protect you. What more do you want the angels to do? They're people that are walking into everything. They're not going to see you. So get out. No, morning. Let's go to bed. Watch a little TV. That's it.
Walk out of that city.
Touch an angel. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry and saying, arise, take... I told you they went to bed. Are you kidding? Arise, take your wife and your 2 daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city. Wow.
Poor Lot. What happened to him? He was not the sharpest tool.
Here's the other thing I missed on my notes.
Lot did not have an alarm clock.
The thing that we have, like we want to tell our friends, but the son-in-laws were in the house, right?
Yeah.
All those people out there banging, so they must have heard what was going on, right? They must have saw what was going on. They didn't care. They seen it. They've been living it. Maybe they accepted it. Who knows if they didn't accept that lifestyle? But obviously, you know, they laughed at him. I guess they just missed all the fun earlier. And maybe they were like those men who came. Isn't that interesting? Maybe those 2 guys were just like the men outside. They didn't hear anything, see anything wrong. Either way, they laughed at him. Yep. So they say, arise, take your wife and your 2 daughters who are here, lest you consume in the punishment of the city. And while he lingered, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And the angels, the morning came and had to urge him to hurry.
Did you believe that? The angels were like,
and while he lingered, what tells you one thing, right? He didn't really want to leave, did he?
No.
He was happy living in that cesspool. Something about that was comfortable to him. He didn't like breaking that, you know, I always say your little circle of comfort, get out of your comfort zone. But everything the angels told him, with everything he saw, he ate with the angels, he heard all this, and they lingered. And while he lingered, and this is interesting, the men took the both of his hands, his wife's hand, and the hands of his 2 daughters, the Lord being merciful to them. You betcha he was. And you better thank God for being merciful to us. And they brought them out and set them outside the city.
See? The men had to take him and basically...
2 angels, how many people?
4.
4 people. 2 angels have 2 arms. How many hands is that?
4 hands.
So the angels took each one by the hand. Took each one by the hand, grabbed him, and took them and brought them out of the city. But isn't that a visual? That's a visual that I want, that if you read it too fast, you kind of miss the fact that the angels grabbed them, each of them, with their two hands, just enough people, and took their hands and walked them out. They weren't waiting anymore. Anybody want anything to add? Jim? Anyone jump in there? Nothing? Good?
I will.
Yes.
The sons-in-law, if they were true sons-in-law, which obviously they must have been, but yet Lot offered his two daughters to all the people out there.
Yep.
And they didn't go with their wives.
Nope.
Or their betrothed. You know?
Right.
It's strange. It's strange.
Yep. Well, because they probably, you know, in one sense, they liked it where they, obviously they wanted to stay. They weren't in a hurry to go, so they weren't as upset about those people coming to the door. So I wonder, were they like those people? It doesn't say, so you have to go on assumptions. But even without that, you have to start thinking, why didn't the boys want to go? They were in love. That was their wives, right? You think they would have went. But they laughed at him, so they were mocking him.
Yeah, they didn't believe him. Yeah, but I would put up a squawk. My father-in-law can offer his daughter.
Yeah. Yeah.
That exposed the evil in them, right?
Yeah.
It could have. That's what I'm saying. But either way, they didn't go. And the angels didn't care. Notice that the angels didn't care. They were not his their mission.
Right. Lost family. Correct family. Work.
Yep. Those, we'll get to that thing. And they brought him out and sent him outside the city. Yes. Finally.
Not yet. Coming in.
I gotta ask you. I don't mean to have to ask you this because we're all in the same boat. But how many times have you lingered? Not in a hurry to run. Not in a hurry to run from sin, from pain, from destruction. Not in a hurry to run from a bad idea or a bad situation. How many times do we linger? How many times have we lingered?
Fred, don't say a word. And
there's children in the room.
Lingered. Lingered means, Pastor, what is meanings now? Lingered means stay in a place, a situation, or with a person longer than necessary because of the reluctance to leave. Another word is dawdle. So you're dawdling. Ouch. Wow. How many times in your life when you're around danger that you've lingered? Maybe never. Maybe some of you guys have never done that. But I know that I have. I'm sorry to say, I confess that I've lingered longer than I needed to.
Procrastination.
That's it. And then it took hold of their hands. Two angels, Lot's wife, two daughters. Four hands, Lot's wife with one angel, the two girls with the other angel. Come, now. Amen?
Amen.
It gets better, guys. Well, maybe not. So, the God was merciful to them.
Yeah.
And that's, for those of you who have lingered,
there's still hope.
I give thanks to God that he was merciful to me. He showed me mercy. You know, I've been some places, you know, in the middle of the night driving where you think if I ever broke down, I'd be in big trouble. And I didn't break down. Your situations in life or something really bad could have happened that it didn't happen. And I say, thank you, Lord, that he was merciful to me.
Jim was guiding me all the way.
Jim, Lynn, how about one more?
Yep, that's it. That's right, Emery.
$20 bill.
Yeah, I'm going to try it again.
Again. You have a little bit of that. That was a
quick one. All right. 17. Put yourself back in this situation. Put yourself back in the story with me. So it came to pass when they had brought them outside that he said, escape for your life.
Do not.
Is that enough?
Yeah.
I'd be running.
Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plains. Yeah. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed. Yeah. I should be looking at all your taillights, amen? We're running. We're leaving now. Yeah. Escape for your life means what? Escape for your life.
Paul, look at your body.
That nothing.
Get out of here.
They didn't even move.
It's crazy.
Well, Lot standing right there. How many times have we stood with God and said, but wait a minute. Please, no, my Lord. Lord, happens. I love this. It gets good if you haven't never read it this way. Escape for your lives. And Lot says, please, no more, Lord. Indeed, now your servant has found favor in your sight. You bet you have. And you have increased your mercy, which you have shown me by saving my life. Yet they have. He said, but I cannot escape to the mountains lest some evil overtake me and I die.
Good Lord. What the heck is he missing that bad?
Poor Lot. Well, the money.
Dumb as rock.
Everything that just happened wasn't bad. Now he's saying, you saved me from everything. God, you've created miracles around me. But let me, wait a minute. Time out, God, lest something else happens and I die. They could have died a dozen times.
You're going to die anyway. You want to live? Run.
This is what they're telling you. Run.
But I cannot escape to the mountains lest some evil overtake me and I die. Oh, Lord. The patience of God. Something bad might happen to me. Some what? What? Some evil might happen. You might get bit by a snake. What is it? What's going to happen to him now? Did it not enough happen to him already? I thank God, and I'm going to say this out loud, that none of you are God. Or me either, because we don't have that kind of patience.
Oh, yeah. Right.
This is patience. This is God the Father up in heaven thinking, well, I can't even tell you what he's thinking.
Obviously, he has a plan for
Lot. You got a plan, all right.
That's why
you got a plan, all right.
That's why he wanted him to leave the town.
His wife, you know, got the
more to the story.
Yes, sir.
No, no.
Jim?
No.
Is that his
yes.
As you went through the story,
yep.
I think you're right. Homosexuality is minor now compared to the rest of the story.
Yeah.
It's part of it, but it's
minor. Yeah, no, it is. It is, you know, it is about the sin.
Yeah.
But these people were perverted.
Right, yeah.
I mean, it was just beyond, you know, and that's why I said Sunday, your salvation is at stake. If I tell you one thing that's not in the Bible, if I change one thing arrogantly like that to do that, I put myself and you all in peril. I don't, whatever your lifestyle, and I put it that way because I'll put it to people that way when I meet them. Whatever your lifestyle, if you're out of the Word of God and you want to be in the Word of God, it's between you and Him. You better go to Him. Don't come to me. Don't ask me to change anything because there's going to be a moment in your life where you're going to need that lighthouse to be right where it is. You're going to need that truth to be right where you can find it. And if I change it and you can't find it, then we're both in trouble. If any man changes this word, changes God's word, that lighthouse moves, we're all going to be in trouble. You're going to be lost. The only reason we can be found is because the light is right where it's supposed to be. That's why God's word will never change. No matter how many times man wants to. When you go to God on that special day of your salvation day, you look at Him and said, well, they told me that I could do this or I could do that if this was accepted. I pray for you because that's not the time to be saying that. Because the Bible says that my people perish for lack of knowledge. You know, we've had plenty of chances, people talking to you about the Bible, people talking to you about Jesus, people talking. I talked to somebody today about Jesus. So I don't wonder whatever religion you are, that's beautiful. But it's about Jesus. Jesus is first. I don't have to give up anything else because I got Him. I don't have to give up my religion because He is my all in all. So what do you call? I call myself Congregationalist or Protestant. It doesn't matter. I have Jesus. Amen. That's what I call myself. I'm a Christian. Amen. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And so it's about Him and Him alone. And that's enough. I mean, what does it say? Jesus, my all in all. He's the giver of all good things. So if you got somebody you love or something, and that's He's the giver of that. Do not look back, but maybe something bad will happen to me. My God. How many bad things could happen to him after that? And he said, the city is near enough. It says 20. He says, Lot says this to the angels. See now, this city is near enough to flee to, and it's a little one. Please let me escape there. It's not a little one, and my soul, is it not a little one, and my soul shall live. Who said the city was near enough? Who? Lot did. So as I said, I wrote that down. The city is near enough. Says who? The city is to be called Zoar, Z-O-A-R, meaning Hebrew small. The word small. He said, let me escape there. And he said to them, see, the angels are talking, and this is your God. See, I have favored you concerning this thing also, and that I will not overthrow this city for which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there. Therefore, Walter, therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Thank you, Lord.
Oh. And then, good thing he left, because you see what happens next.
So I wrote this down. I said, your car breaks down in the middle of a blizzard. You got no food, no warmth, no phone, no traffic, no storm blowing. A storm blowing. Is that when you think something bad might happen to me? This could get bad.
That's no cloud comes charging at you. It could get worse.
Is Lot not aware of what's happening? Maybe living in Sodom, they are accustomed to such hate and violence already. Except that the two angels have come to his home telling them what God is about to do. Everything else was just another day. In this world, at this time, seeing all this happening in our lives right now, we too have come numb to the pain and suffering and sin around us that we are sharing, and that we shrug and become complacent and not see the emergency now because we are self-satisfied. That's a thought to think of, amen? In this world, at this time, we see all this stuff happening, but maybe we have come numb to the pain, the suffering, and sin around us that we shrug and become complacent. Thank you, Lord. It's an interesting thought. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. Can you imagine? Can you imagine seeing New York City being leveled like that? Or Los Angeles, or whatever city you want to think of, whatever. The Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of heaven. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. But his wife looked back, looked behind him, and she became a pillar of salt.
He had had enough. He wasn't giving any more lenience.
Watched the towers fall, and that was just like one big block in New York. That wasn't the whole city. That was just, you know,
magnitude of the whole city.
Yeah. But that was just one big block. And secondly, talking about becoming numb, I mean, living in Derby, you hear gunshots all the time, or it sounds like gunshots. I was at this Halloween thing, you know, spooky house, waiting in line, and someone, you know, shot something off just for the noise. And I didn't jump. Everyone else did. I didn't jump. So that's how numb to bullets sounds like.
When the angels, when Abraham was talking to Jesus, right? And Jesus tells Abraham what he's going to do in Sodom and Gomorrah. What does Abraham do with Jesus?
Bargains.
He negotiates, right? From 50 all the way down to 10. Will you not? Notice this story right here. Notice it this way. Maybe you've not seen it this way. But God honors Abraham's request. He does not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah not for 10, not for 5, but for 4 people. He does not destroy the city while 4 righteous people are staying in the city. Until Lot leaves with his family, because the angel said, we cannot do anything until you leave. So notice that, even though it sounded like, why didn't Abraham say 5, or it didn't matter? Because God saved Lot, saved Sodom and Gomorrah for 4 people. Until they left. So in the sense that he honored them. Said, 4 leave and arrive in the small city. Sodom is safe while the 4 righteous remain. Abraham prayed for all the inhabitants. God said he would save Sodom if 10 could be found. Not just the people, but Sodom and Gomorrah. Understand that. He said he would save everything if he could find 10 people. Not just the people, but he would save Sodom and Gomorrah, would remain the same, even with all the sin, if there were 10 righteous people there. So he said he would save the city, not just life. And that's interesting to think. That he wouldn't destroy the cities for the 10. Yet, the people in Sodom and Gomorrah rejected everything. Amen? Rejected everything.
Well, even the son-in-laws rejected them.
Yep.
I mean, that was outright because they knew that, you know, hey, look, we've got to go.
There's not a lot about his wife. The check, she didn't want to go. And there's so many times in people's lives where they like where they were. They liked the place that they were. They were comfortable in their sins. They were comfortable in their lifestyle. They think that there was, you know, they missed that. That's who they are, or whatever they were. They weren't in line with God, and they, or whatever. But she looked back because that's where she wanted to be. Whatever was going on with her inside, she didn't want a new beginning. She didn't want God. She didn't even want to be with her husband. And there's not a lot, you know, somebody asked me, did she really turn into a pillar of salt? Well, that's all I got to go on. So it was a stone. Did she turn into a pillar of salt? You know, that's what the Bible says. But maybe it was just so we understand that she died right there. Yeah. Whatever she did after that, whatever she turned into, she died. Because she didn't want to leave. She turned around and God knew what was in her heart. That's, she didn't want to go.
So he didn't make her.
That's right.
That's why the front windshield, they always say, people say, how much bigger your front windshield is than the back one. Because it says, that's where you're going. That's the big mountain behind you. You don't need to look back, you know.
Let me go a little bit further. Just I'm going to skip over just a little bit because I'm going to read some of this on well, it's so beautiful that it just, with the study. Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord, and he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and he saw, behold, the smoke of the land which went up like the smoke of the furnace. Can you imagine what was in his heart? He knew that the destruction that was there. And when it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt. He honored Abraham's request for 4 people, and he didn't destroy that. And this is just right here, we'll go with this. In 1930 said, then Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountains with his 2 daughters who were with him, for he was afraid to dwell in Zoar. He and his daughters dwelt in a cave. And I want to just, this is where I want to end it tonight.
Then all of a sudden, then he starts feeling the fear, right?
Yep. Why did they leave Zoar? It never says, but Zoar was a small city, all right? And they were sent there. But for some reason, Lot decides to take his daughters and leave there and go live in the mountains in a cave. Did they? Maybe they didn't go along with the people. Maybe the people didn't like them. Maybe there was going on. We never know for sure.
Right. Or maybe they were.
But he doesn't stay. He does. That's right. He doesn't stay there. He said, Lor went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountains. He and his 2 daughters were with him, for he was afraid to dwell in Zoar. Why would he be afraid to dwell where God put him?
He couldn't be afraid to live in, or afraid to stand.
Well, he couldn't make it to the mountain, so he went to the closest city. Maybe he thought that now that city was going to get destroyed, so maybe he wanted, he had to go to the mountain.
You don't know. but if, I saw people doing stuff and said,
that's
oh,
good.
No, you don't.
But if God, took you today, Brother Jim, and brought you somewhere, why would you be afraid? There's no, God, you're right what you say, but God took him. The angels took him, sent him there. Lot was in Zoar because of God and the angels. What if God puts you there, if God brings you somewhere, and no matter what's going around you, there's no reason to fear.
He started because, working for that city, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
The problem for the original place
yep.
God wanted.
That's right.
And God was merciful upon
him. He started to really believe fully. Yeah.
Yep. But he goes there, and what are you afraid of? God brought you there. If God brought you there and you could bargain with God, get on your knees and say, God, can I go somewhere else? But they said that they were afraid to live there, so you have to wonder. And he moves his daughters to a cave? Yeah, and that's better?
But he was afraid to go to the mountains, too. So
yep.
It's almost like he overcame his fear then.
Well, maybe, but...
Yeah, but every place in the Old Testament, the Hebrews were saved. And then they saw the miracles, they were saved, and then they forgot, and then they moved on. And they never stayed and truly believed. They always... something else. Same thing with the man, the same thing with the everything that God gave them wasn't enough.
Now I'll finish. Now the firstborn said to the younger, our father is old and there is no man on the earth to come to us as in the custom of all the earth. That's a lie. But I don't want to say she's lying. She's just wrong. God didn't destroy the whole world. He didn't destroy everybody. And they were in a city. So there were people. But the girl, this is where I tell you what truth never needs to be exaggerated. And you see a lot of exaggeration even with the abortion. Oh, this is going to end abortion. No, it's not. If they overturn Roe v. Wade, that doesn't end abortion ever. It doesn't do. It just changes the rules a little bit. But you could still get it. You see, that's exaggeration to make people think it's, oh, this is going to be bad. And that's what these girls were saying. Now we're with our father in a cave and there's no man. Well, of course there are men. There were men in the city. But they exaggerated that out of fear. And they said it, 32. And we'll end with 32. Thank you. It says, so they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in to lay with their father, and he did not know when she lay down with them as she arose, and the next night the next girl did. So God did not destroy the earth. There were certainly men alive even in Zoar. But isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting? And this is called, the girls adopted the characteristics of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's what they knew. This is what they knew, as if the sin rubbed off on the girls. They didn't see anything bad, evil, sinful about what they were going to do to their father. They lived in a place so filthy and so dirty that it rubbed off on them. That's the only thing that could you... What else could you say? They were wrong about no men being around. Obviously, God didn't destroy the world. It wasn't the flood. He destroyed a city, Sodom and Gomorrah. But they... So they do this, and it makes me think that they had the characteristics of the people of Sodom. Yes, Walter?
How long did Lot live in Sodom? I mean, he came from someplace else, right?
Yes.
Did he come with other people?
Abraham.
He came, Abraham. Him and Abraham traveled, and he settled in Lot. He settled in, you know, you got to imagine that Sodom and Gomorrah must have been beautiful. Because when Lot left Abraham, he chose the beautifulness. So it must have been green and lush. It must have been a place they loved. So you think that Sodom and Gomorrah must have been at that time very vegetational and very green and very full of water.
Daughters, you don't know what their dad might have said to them when they were in those caves for so long. He might have said the same thing happened to everybody, and they wanted their dad's lineage to keep going. And they were thinking, but they were thinking that there were no other men, so he had to tell them, you know, they were the only ones left.
Well, they might not have even stayed there. Maybe the people who were with Lot, we don't know. Yeah, but we know that he traveled there and made a home there, and he was very successful. They had a beautiful home. Evidently, had a wall around the home. He was very, very well to do, and according to God's eyes and Abraham's eyes, because he was Abraham's cousin, that he was righteous. So God, Jesus. Abraham talks to God about saving Lot, saving Sodom and Gomorrah, because that's where Lot was. But his daughters took the form of Sodom and Gomorrah to lay with. Any way you want to spin it, it's perverted. They got their father drunk, and they laid with him. Amen?
One after the other. Yep.
And that's not the end of the story, but that's the end of the Bible story tonight. Let me pray so we can all enjoy. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we should never be afraid when you take us somewhere, Lord. When you guide us, we should never have any fear. Nothing on the left can hurt us, nothing on the right. No matter how many people fall, Lord, we know we have you, and you will keep us strong and standing. We should never fear. Nothing formed against us shall prosper, Lord. We claim that in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, we just want to be where you want us to be. We see this, we hear this story, and we know, Lord, that we linger sometimes and we don't run from the evil, Lord. And we know we're just like Lot at times, Lord. But you show us and lead us, Lord, that we can continue to grow together and live a beautiful life that you want to bless us with, Father. We just love you and thank you for those in this Bible study, Lord. As we read your word, please, we pray for Sunday service, Lord, to heal our church and bring the people to our church, Lord. And whoever you want there, Lord, the door is open for them. In Jesus' name I pray.